men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
To my heart, light is penetrating my heart, understanding is made available to me. In the mighty name of Jesus, I am growing in grace. I am growing in the knowledge of the Lord. I pray that understanding is available unto me. Come on, go ahead and decree and declare. Understanding is available. The teaching this morning profits me. I gain insight into what the Word of God will be bringing to me this morning. My eyes of understanding is enlightened. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. By the grace of God, this month we are doing justice to the virtue of humility. The Lord told us that this year is our year of great grace. And according to scriptures, we've realized that one of the conduits for accessing grace is humility. So by the special mercies and grace of God, our teaching focus this month is, but he gives grace to the humble. But he gives grace to the humble. Our core anchor scripture is James chapter 4. We're reading verse number 6. Today we're going to be reading it from the Amplified Bible. I like the way the Amplified Bible rendered it. James chapter 4, verse 6. He said, but he gives more and more grace, power of the Holy Spirit, to meet these evil tendency and all others fully. That is why he says, God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. I want us to take the last portion again. One, two, read. But gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. Father, we thank you for your word. We understand that your word is the channel by which understanding comes. So I ask that there will be an avalanche of understanding this morning. Let the preaching of these words bring simplicity to the hearts of everyone. I'm asking that you will cause your word to be fruitful lives. I pray that they will not just hear sounds, but they will receive counsels. I pray that they will not just hear words, but they will receive understanding. I pray that they will not just take notes, they will apply wisdom. I rebuke every spirit of religion, every spirit of self that wants to hinder the prevailing preeminence of your word. I rebuke it in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that the anointing that makes teaching to be easy, preaching to be free-flowing, will rest upon me this morning. I pray that the grace that makes hearing and assimilation easy will come upon your people. So that at the end of this discussion, every one of us will be edified and Jesus will be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Look at your neighbor, say, the grace of the humble. I'm not hearing you well. Say, the grace of the humble. We started this series on Thursday, briefly thereabouts. And then we'll continue this morning. I'll be sharing with us on what I've captioned, The Grace of the Humble, Part 2. The Grace of the Humble. The grace of the humble. Look at your neighbor. Say, there is a grace that humble people carry. Not hearing you well. Say, there is a grace that accompanies humble people. The focus of this discussion is first to help us embrace the reality that a greater portion of what we as believers enjoy comes as a result of humility. Now that's one of the burden of this teaching. Listen, everybody. A greater portion of what we Christians, kingdom citizens, enjoy, they don't come from our sweat. Neither do they come from our might. They come from the flow of God's grace. Glory to God. A great deal of what we enjoy. The Bible says, but He gives grace. And most of these grace are not what we get by skill, but they come by humility. Glory to God. Then number two, to also provide insight into the kingdom virtue of humility and how it is cultivated. So the focus of this teaching is to help you understand biblical humility to the end that you are able to cultivate it. Praise God. And then finally, it is also to unveil the dangers of pride, the consequences of pride, what you stand to suffer if you are a proud person. Amen. Glory to God. By means of introduction, I was able to establish last time that the kingdom of God, the statement, the kingdom of God is not a cliche, neither is it a religious system. The kingdom of God is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. In other words, when you talk about the kingdom of God, you are talking about how God influences people by the presence of His Spirit in their life so that they will do the things He does and the things He wants them to do. Glory to God. Now take note of this. The kingdom of God is how God influences those who have the Spirit of God in them so that they can do what God does. The doings are the reflections of the kingdom you belong to. Let me say that again. The things you do reflect the kingdom you live in. So, kingdom is predominantly a way of life. The moment you are part of a kingdom, there is how people in that kingdom behave. Is that okay? You know, there are several words that explains kingdom. Let me give you three. Write them down. We talked about dominion. Number two, we talk about government. And then number three, we talk about glory. When you check the root word that was interpreted kingdom, you see these three things in them. One of them is what? Dominion. Dominion talks about influence, exerting influence. Talks about power and authority. Two, we talk about government. Government is the administration of people. How people are administrated. Government sets the rule. The day the government came and said, no more using of notes, old notes, problem started. Am I correct? They set the rules. So there is physical government. There is spiritual government. So look up. When you say the government of God, you're also saying the what? The kingdom of God. Because Bible says in Isaiah 2, he said, a time will come where the kingdom of the world, he said, Isaiah 2 verse 2, he says, and it shall come to pass that the Lord's house shall be exalted as the sheep house, higher than all the hills. He said, and nations will flow through it. Now look up. It means a time is coming where believers will be the one exerting influences in our communities. That's the word of God. Habakkuk 2:4, he said, the whole earth shall be filled with the revelation, with the knowledge of the glory of God. Glory to God. So tell your neighbor, if it's kingdom, it shows. So government, you know, if things are not happening, you will say, what did this government say if they do? Am I correct? Let's say a community that the roads are bad, no health care. What would you say there? This government not do anything. Now, it means if it is government, there must be what? Doings. And then thirdly, when you talk about kingdom, you talk about what? Glory. 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 The whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. He's not talking about smoke. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about people who are living like who? Like God. So if you say, I'm a carrier of the glory of God, you know what you're trying to say? Everything that typifies God is what I look like. When people see me, they have seen who? They have seen God. Quickly check it. Matthew 5 verse 16. He said, let your, did you see that now? Let your light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works. And what would they do? Give it to us in New King James. And they will give glory to God. This is what it means. It means kingdom living is godly living. Write that down. Kingdom living. So if you say the kingdom of God, you are not talking about going to heaven. You are talking about you receiving heaven into your life and spreading its savour over everywhere you get to. That's what we mean by the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is believers exhibiting the very character of God everywhere they get to. Everywhere they get to. Everywhere they get to. Say, let your light so shine. Talks about intensity. So shine. Let it be so intensive in your place of work. Everybody is thanking God for you. That's what would mean. That's what it means to live the kingdom of God lifestyle. Anytime you are not available in the place of work, people miss you. They know you are not available. They fill your void because you are a light bearer. You travel for 2 weeks. The company knows for good that you are not around. Your place of work, they see you as an embodiment of the divine. The Bible says that's how you should live. But take note of the word, your light. It talks about responsibility. Did you see that? It said, let your what? Your light. But before he said that, look at what he said. He said, you are the light of the world. You are the light. So, how you live will determine whether there will be light or there will be what? There will be darkness. So, when the Bible says, gross darkness, the people, you know what he was saying? He's saying that a time will come where Christians will carry light and they will hide it under a bushel. They will not be intentional about their behavior and their character. That's what he's saying. Can I say that again? What he's saying is, when the Bible says you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, what he's trying to say is that you don't have good character and hide it. Is that what, are you following me now? It means your good character should spread like light. So this is what I wrote down. The reason God chose to make the earth and put man in it is because he wants to see his likeness visibly spread across the whole earth. I wish you can pen that down. Pen it down. Most of us think that the whole idea of coming to church, becoming born again, is just so that when the trumpet sounds, we'll go to heaven. Or we don't say God, now Father Christmas. It's just the bless us, bless us, bless us, bless us. That's why every people just bless us, bless us. No, far from it. The best way to attract God's blessing is to reflect God's life. Just be living like God. Just be living like Him. He will be backing you up. That's what that verse says. He gives grace. He will just be giving you. In your office, they are planning that they will sack you. Some man are you, they will still promote. Without you even knowing. How many of you know when they conspired against Daniel? Daniel was not aware. He did not know. He didn't even know that the law was because of him. Just innocent. They just called him, say, you are praying. And then he said, oh yeah, come. He came. They threw him to lion. He did not react. Then the king came and said, has your God? So Daniel was not praying because he wants to show that he can pray. He was praying because he wants the life of God to be what? Visibly seen. So when they threw him into the lion den, the God that he was representing, what did he do? Shut the mouth of the lion. You see, sometimes in life, we are trying to shut too many mouths. That's why they are not getting shut. That's why they are not shutting. The easiest way to shut the mouth of the lion is to live the life of God. Just be living it. Just be living it. They will, you know, sometimes some people plan for us. It's after the plan has failed, they will come and tell us they planned for us. But when they made those plans, how come you didn't know? You were busy living the life of God. And like he said in the book of Romans 12, he said, I will avenge them. I pray for you that you will see the vengeance of God over all that are working against your life without you fighting them in Jesus' name. We don't fight. We don't fight. God fights for us. You and God can't be fighting the same fight. Everybody says spread across. So what is it that God wants to spread across? What is it that God wants to spread across? His likeness. His likeness. So you are the carrier of the likeness of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Becoming born again is becoming like God. It happens in the spirit, but then it must manifest in the physical. Glory to God. Now, what this implies is this. Anyone who claims to have a relationship with God must have five things. Very, very important. Anyone who says he has a relationship with God must have what? Five things. Number one, let's write them down. If you claim to have a relationship with God, you must have the same intention that God has. Write that down. That's what you are coming to service to learn. That's why if the only time you come to church is on Sunday morning and then you ignore the other time to learn, you may not be doing so well. Have what? They must have the same intention. See, the easiest way to attract, or let me not use attract, the easiest way to validate your relationship with God is that you are in school as a student for the very reason God wants you to be in school. Everybody say intention. Say with me intention. That's what it means to have a relationship with God. He said in Hebrews 8, he said, I will put my law in your heart. He said, you will be my people and I will be your what? Your God. Now, if God's spirit is dwelling in you, it means you have the mind of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 12 and 13, we have the mind of God. What do we mean by mind? Mind is the seat of what? Intentions. Mind is the seat of intentions. So it means that if you claim to have a relationship with God, in every matter between you and another person, God's mind should always be in your what? In your mind. How God, while we're growing up, there's something we used to do then. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? WWJD. What would Jesus do? That's how they taught us how to live back then in SU. So anytime you are in a situation, before you act, just ask yourself, if Jesus was in this situation, what will he do? That's kingdom. Number two, if you have a relationship with God, you must have the same nature that God has. You must have the same nature that God has. Please take note of this. It is nature that powers actions. Can I say that again? It is what a thing is made up of that will determine the kind of work that thing can do. Nature powers actions. That's why if you are not born again, there is no way you can live like God. Don't even deceive yourself. You cannot pretend to be born again. With time, it will show. Are you following what I'm saying? The Bible says in the book of Acts, and certain men joined themselves with the believers. And one of them were Ananias and what? Sapphira. They pretended to be as the believers. People were selling land, they too were selling. But when crisis came, crisis separated them. Look up. The real you will show when crisis comes. The real you will show when pressure comes. You can pretend until pressure. Pressure reveals your nature. The pressure shows who you really are. So they sold the land and came back and said, they agreed with themselves. Now when we get there, we'll tell them this is the amount we sold it. And scripture said, the moment they said that, Peter knew they were lying. And you and I know the story. The two of them what? Died. And the Bible take note, told us something, man. He said two things happened. Number one, great fear came upon the people. But number two, no one joins them. No one can go there and pretend. So that's why Jesus was telling us in Matthew 12, I think is it 33. He said, make the tree what? Good. Or make the tree what? Evil. Why? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't claim to be born again and certain behaviors and certain tendencies are not obvious in your life. They must be obvious. Why? A tree is known by its fruit. So that was what I was sharing with us on Thursday. That we are the plantings of God. It's verse 35 now says, out of the abundance. But see what it said. A tree is identified by its what? Go back to 33. By its fruit. So tell your neighbor, nature determines actions. So in this context, we don't try to work on the fruit. We work. That's why the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit are planted in the Spirit, are vested in the Spirit. Glory to God. So, if you have a relationship with God, what did it say here? You must have the same what?
Nature.
Nature. We'll come to that. Number three, you can't claim to have a relationship with God if you don't hear what God says. So, number one, for you to claim to have a relationship with God, you must have the same intention God has. Number two, you must have the same nature God has. Number three, you must hear what God says. A number of us struggle to read our Bibles. That's why we are behaving opposite of the Christian life. We are not going to blame you. We are only going to blame your slothfulness to hearing God's word. One of the prophets spoke. He said, once have the Lord spoken, but twice have I heard. We call it repetitive hearing. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He also said, thy word have I hid in my heart. So, how do you explain being a believer? 2 weeks, you will not study your Bible. I mean, the only time you remember to open your Bible is when you dream that Scoobe and Philala running after you with masquerade in their forehead. And then you remember Psalm 91 and put the Bible on your forehead and begin to chant incantation as if you are from one of those Oromilas. Why? If you can put the Bible close to your head and demons will run away from you, imagine when you now put it into your heart. They will be advising themselves. He said, is it that young woman? Is it that guy? No, go near. His hair may be looking dada, but his spirit is rugged. If you go close, he will finish you with word. Every time the devil showed up to Jesus, Jesus said, it is written. If you are a fine girl and you cannot say what it is written, Satan will slap you and use your wig to clean your kata. That's the season we are coming into. That's the season we are coming into. The worst place you can ever be is for you to be looking good, yet your spiritual man is looking lean. When Satan will disgrace you, you will run to hospital and you will just be. Praise God. I said I want to be gentle today. Let me know. Amen. Tell neighbor, hear what God is saying. Study your Bible. Hey, but pastor, I don't understand. There are a lot of people that will help you to understand. Hear what God is saying. And then, number 4, speak as God speaks. See, we are talking about relationship here. What are we talking about here? Relationship. Relationship. Relationship means connection. Connection. I'm connected to God, so I have the mind of God. 2, I'm connected to God, I have the nature. That's why it's called connection. God is a spirit. I too am a spiritual man. He is a spiritual God, but I am a what? I'm a spiritual man. Then 3, because he is a spiritual God, I'm a spiritual man, I hear his word. So his word is what helps me to navigate my natural life. So when men say there is a casting down, I check what his word says. So when his word said there is a lifting up, that is what I talk about. Listen to this. You cannot change your statements, your utterances, if you don't check your nature. It flows out from the Spirit of God inside of you. He said, thy word have I heed. Glory to God. Amen. Raise your head. When demons are dealing with issues, it's like the way lawyers handle their clients in court. There is what we call the accused, and there is what we call the defendant, and there is what we call the what? The respondent, and there is what who we call the judge. Everybody will present their matter. Everybody say words. He said, by the words of your mouth, you will be justified. The reason why some of you cannot confront the challenges in your life is because you don't have sufficient word. So when they press you, I don't die, yo! So people are sleeping and they are fighting Bruce Lee inside sleep. Sometimes you can't sleep near them because you will realize that they will use the. You will see yourself on the floor. They are just fighting. They are fighting in life. They are fighting in their soul. It is. They are just fighting. That's why I check some of them. Now only fighting scriptures they know. All the verses of scripture is always fire. He said something. He says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. There is a place you get to in God to fight your battle for you. He just tell all the issue, Yamuna clear, Yamuna come. Just clear, clear way, I come. Who says a thing and it comes to pass when God has not said it? There is a place of rest. Some people say, this Jesus God is only battle we have been fighting. That's religion. Religion is lying to you. If it's only battle we'll be fighting, why did Jesus now fight it? And now called us triumphant. There is a difference between winning a battle, getting a victory, and being triumphant. They are not the same level. Winning is because you fight. Victory is because you and other people fight. But triumph is that other people fought. They gave you the crown. You didn't hear what I just said. Win, you fight, you win. Victory, you and other people fight, una win. But triumph, somebody fought, won, and gave you the gold and said, take it and go and display it to the people. That's called triumph. The man in Christ, we are not just winners. The man in Christ, we are not just victors. Scripture said, he triumphed over them in it. And then he now gave us the match pass. So when we wake up in the night and the demons are trying to use our head to do tennis, we tell them, see, it is abnormal. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You know what you have just done? It's not my fight. Jesus fought it. So the moment you say, in the name of Jesus, the angels take over from there. And then you will sleep, you will snore, and you breathe well. And then you wake up and go about displaying the goodness of God all around. You can't be fighting battle and be displaying love at the same time. You didn't hear what I said. Battle-mindedness makes you reactive. You'll be thinking everybody's enemy. That's why, listen, if you don't come into that place of rest, you can't walk in love. Because you, even your boss in office, you will see him as an enemy. You just be counting everybody as enemy. You see that one? The way his face look, this woman's face, I suspect this face. You know, when we're growing up, they told us, anytime you go to village, you see all these old people, they must not give you any. You know, up till now, we still fear old people. Now, Bible, they change our mind, though. If we see some old women, we don't already conclude for our mind, say, this one, our Lori Egbe. Especially the ones that are ugly and black. They did a lot of bad things to our psyche where we're growing up. So when we go to a village like this, we just where Junior, that is always very noisy at home, we just school. Grandma is even greeting him. Don't indoctrinate the head. And that mindset is what some of us carry. You are staying in a compound. Your landlady is old. Anytime she's coming, you are speaking in tongue. Father, she will not see my face today. Keep quiet. If she won't kill you, before you even come, they ask for don't kill you. It's a mindset. And when you have that kind of mindset, there is no way you can be a dispenser of love. You can't be a dispenser of love with that mindset. But when you know that God is the one fighting all your battles, you can even be having plans, conversation with your enemies, and they still cannot get you. Because though you are in this world, you are not of this world. They'll go and meet another person. I've been doing everything to get that young man. I don't even know what that young man carry. There's nothing no way you carry. You carry the embodiment of divine wisdom. That light that is shining in your life is not only shining in your life to give you the knowledge of the glory of Christ in the face of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He's also giving you triumph in every of your matters. I remember somebody was giving us confession of what witches do. So they asked them, was spend years in witchcraft. They said, okay, we know that you people used to cause accidents. Are you following me? Some accidents are not natural. Some are natural. Some are not. So they now asked, I said, okay, what they do is that whenever they need blood, they will go to highways. And then at some point, as they see the buses coming, they will just raise in the realm of the spirit something like a barricade. Woo! As the driver enter like this, boom, break will fail. Everybody will die, as many as they want. They now asked her that what if in that bus there is someone that carries God and the fire of Holy Ghost in his heart? They'll say, ah. She said, Pastor, don't go there. He said, first, we scan the bus very well. If we just see one, when they come, we'll remove and make them pass. Because if we allow them to touch that thing, nobody go die. You now, we, when go put them,
Now we go answer question when we go back to Kovu.
Case closed. So glory to God. So we triumph. Tell anyone we triumph. When they put out, when they say we, they call it. I say, I don't want trouble. You know, there are some people like that. You know, some people, there are some people in life, as they are coming, just say, I've been made this one just pass. The same thing in the realm of the spirit. Look at anybody, say, why are you afraid? Just rest. So we speak the word of God. It was Paul that was speaking. He said, we have the same spirit of faith. So we what? We speak how God speaks. And then lastly, number 5. I'm giving you 5 solid reflections of your relationship with God. Number 5, we live and conduct our lives the way he lives and conducts his life. If I have a relationship with God, it means my conduct is reflective of his conduct. And because of the imperative, the implication of number 5, everyone who have a relationship with God must walk in love. Number 5, it means, I already told you that number 2, you have the same nature with God. And I told you that nature determines action. So then walk, when you say walk, is the action. For instance, when 2 of them are having misunderstanding, how they handle and settle it determine the kind of nature they carry. If he carries the nature of a pretender, he will ask him, is there anything? He will say no. Meanwhile, there is something. If he carries the nature of one that keeps malice, he will be giving him the attitude of what? Of malice. If he carries the nature of one that backbites and gossip, he will not tell him what he has done wrong, but will prefer to be just saying it elsewhere. So those walkings, scripture said, they are traceable to the nature you carry. So there are 3 natures: the Adamic nature, the sinful, the satanic nature, and the God nature. The Adamic nature is the human nature that was exempted from the God nature. It's flesh. Sinful flesh. The satanic nature is the very nature of Satan, evil. Why the godly nature is the very nature of God, good. Now let me show you something. Before we got born again, we lived in the Adamic nature. So when we became born again, a number of these tendencies will still be in our lives. Are we understanding that? So that's why, Pastor Sir, is it possible for somebody to be born again and yet the person keeps malice? Yes. Is that okay? Pastor Sir, is it possible for somebody to be born again and yet the person is a slanderer? Yes. Pastor Sir, is it possible for somebody to be born again and yet the person is insultive, yet the person lies? Yes. Why? When you became born again, it is not your soul that changed. It is the nature that what? That changed. But the nature that changed was the satanic nature. Your flesh is still with you. So God took away the nature of Satan, gives you the nature of God, and now gives you the responsibility to now deal with your selfish nature. Are you following what I'm saying now? That's why the work of Christianity is hard. This is what happened. He took away the satanic nature from you, gave you the God nature, but left your fleshy nature. So, the satanic nature is taken away. It's called deliverance. The God nature is given to you. It's called salvation. But the human nature, you will stay with it forever. Are you following me? So the responsibility you have to that nature is what we call transformation. Transformation. Change it by the nature of God that you have received. So this is what it means. He's saying that God give you soap, God give you water and is telling you that bathroom that is dirty, go and get it cleaned. You and I know very well that even though I dash you a house, I will not wash the toilet for you. You are the one that use it yourself. Even though we got born again, God will not be the one to help to force us not to be proud. No, God will not be the one to force us not to lie. He will only tell you, don't lie. He will not give you grace not to lie. So if you resist the grace, you live as a liar. So that's the reason why some people are born again and they are still living as though they are not born again. It's not because they have not received the Spirit of God. Tell anybody, it's because they are not taking responsibility. I didn't hear you well. Tell anybody, they are not taking responsibility. He said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? It is God that works in us. Did you see that? It is God that works what? In us. So tell anybody, it's a partnership. That's the difference between you and the unbeliever. Scripture says, there is no righteous, no, not one. But we have become the righteousness of God by the dwelling of the Spirit in our lives. But tell anybody, we must cooperate. So one of the direction of this cooperation is called humility. That's what we are now saying. For every of this work in our life to happen, there is a virtue your life must cultivate. It's called what? Humility. Humility is not an impartation. Humility is cultivated. So, humility is not an impartation. Humility is a cultivation. You didn't hear what I said? To be humble is not because you have the Holy Spirit. You can have the Holy Spirit and still be what? Proud. Yes. 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 So stop thinking that because somebody is a pastor, it will be humble automatically. No. Stop thinking that because she goes to church, she will be humble. No. There are proud believers. There are proud believers. There are proud believers. Even in the early church, let's turn our Bibles to 3 John. Verse 9. So, you can be speaking in the Holy Ghost and be proud. So that's why James was saying, God resist the proud. So among us believers, there are proud believers. Now he said, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence, give it to us in NLT. He said, I wrote to the church about this, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader, refuses to have anything to do with us. Give it to us in Amplified. He said, Amplified. He said, I have written briefly to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to take the lead among them and put himself first. Everybody say pride. Does not acknowledge my authority and refuses to accept my suggestions or to listen to me. Did you see that? So even among the early church, they were proud ones. Now what was he talking about here? He was talking about helping traveling ministers. Because in those days, when people preach, they go, you know, the disciples were spread when persecution came. So the instruction was that any traveling minister, when they come, the church should receive them and what? Support them and assist them. Maybe pay their transport, give them food. So, but Diotrephes said, no, don't help anybody. You see, if you read the next verse, NLT, you see what he was saying. 10. NLT. He said, When I come, I will report some of the things he's doing and the evil accusation he's making against us. Not only does he refuse to welcome the traveling teachers, he also tells others not to help them. And when they do help, he puts them out of the church. Hey, there are proud people in the church. So that's why James said that. He resists the proud. So that you have the Holy Spirit does not mean you will be humble. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, you now start cultivating what? Humility. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3 is a responsibility. Humility is a responsibility. You cultivate it. If not, this Holy Spirit you carry, you can speak in tongues and become very proud. I've read God's General. I read the book Final Quest. Listen, church. A number of those rejoicer met that couldn't obtain their crown. They were not pulled down by fornication or some of these regular sins everybody's running away from. He said it was pride. Many families he spoke to, they were powerful preachers while they were on earth. He said, he asked one of them, he said, sir, when the anointing became so much, I stopped listening to anybody. Go and check. Even in God's General. Listen to, read someone like William Branham, Alexander Dowie. Mighty move of God. There is nothing we have seen in our generation that those people did not see. But check Alexander Dowie, for example. William Branham stopped listening to anybody. The first thing he did, he sacked his personal assistant. That was always telling him to check someone. He sacked him immediately. And the next thing he said, he said, I'm the last Elijah. Like Nebuchadnezzar. And God afflicted him with sickness. He died. I read God's General. Maybe you've not read it. A number of people, the same sickness they were healing people of, they died in it. Pride opened it up. It was not Satan. No. It was pride that opened it up. So, several in scriptures. God, there is no part of the scripture you will see when Bible will now say God resists someone. But in James, he said God. Meaning if a man is proud, now three people, they fight against you. That's why proud people, as far as they are concerned, they are the only ones existing. And only them, they carry their problem. Proud people die shameful deaths. Go read about all these God's General. I read it one day and I cried. I was just crying. These people lived, they had great influence. They could have used it to serve their generation. Like King Saul, they refused it to serve their generation. They refused to use it to serve their generation. They used it to serve themselves. Themselves. I mean, people were to be killed by Goliath. A small David, 17 years, running on the anointing, came and pulled him down. The next thing that could happen was that you were angry. Did everything to kill David. But yet, David could not kill him. Everybody say humility. David allowed King Saul to keep passing. To keep passing. No wonder scripture says, I will restore again the tabernacle of David. David is a valid replica of the kind of life I want earth to be. King Saul, he died. The same Saul that would have killed Agag was the same sword that King King saw. They took his own sword. It was his own sword that killed them. That's how powerful pride can be. Pride is what we call self-destruction. You'll be destroying yourself. Nobody can help you. No, pride is so bad. Pride is the only kind of sin that you will never detect that you have it. You know, if you are a liar, you will know you are a liar. But if you are proud, you will never know that you are proud. So bad a virtue. But check the opposite of it. Humility. He said, he gives grace to the humble. So it is a responsibility. Just the same way you make up your mind to be proud. It's a made up mind. Yes. William Branham said, don't come and meet me for anything. He built Zion City. Go and read about Zion City. He built it. Big city like this. It not take time. The city, everything crumbled. Died as a reject. Even at the point of his death, I don't know if he asked for mercy. Such a great... great gift that God gave to the body. Satan understands this, that if he wants to pull a man down, is to cover the man's eye to others and focus the gaze on himself. The moment your eye becomes you, nobody can talk to you again. It's only your voice that you hear. It's only your face that you see. And the funniest part of it is that Satan will be fighting against you, God will be resisting you, and you will be fighting against yourself. Because where you are supposed to call for help, you will not call for help. You just die. See Abasha, as he do rich, someone said something. He said, the greatest money rich one Nigeria ever had is Abasha. He has died since 1998. We are still repatriating the money he took away till today. But where is he now? Hey, the rapper, I was watching the death. They don't rap inside one cloth, just try inside ground. But in his grave, he's still spilling all the money he stole. And his generation could never have relevance. Listen to this, son, men and women of God. When King Saul died, he didn't die alone. He died with his entire family. That was why when it was time for David to help Jonathan, he was screaming, can we find anybody from Saul's lineage to help? They all died the same day with him. Pride is a killer. If God turns towards a proud man, nobody can help you. You are the only one that can help yourself. That's why he said, he gives more grace to the humble. Humility is an attractiveness to divine help. Humility. Humility. What is humility? A state of having or showing modest estimate of one's importance. Write that down. What is humility? A state of showing. Is a conduct. Humility is a conduct. You show it. A state of what? Showing, number one, a modest. That's where you have the word moderate. Moderate. Or low estimate. A state of showing what? Modest. Or low estimate of one's importance. A state of showing, of having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's importance. He said, let everyone with lowliness of heart, that's humility, esteem the other better than himself. Philippians chapter 2, 3, 4, 5 gave us the direct implication of humility. If you read that, that's what humility is all about. Number one, modest. Number two, lowly. It means atasudiata. You are the one that decides to be humble. All of the material I've been consulting on humility several times, it keeps saying, it's humility is a decision. You are intentional about humility. It's a decision. That's why I told you, humility is not an emotion. Humility is not an impartation. Humility is not even a spirit. It is when you have cultivated humility that people can now say is of a humble spirit, because that's what comes out of you. It is a decision. You are intentional about it. When Lucifer was to leave heaven, what did he say? Check what he said, man. He said, I will what? Raise my throne. See, at the base of pride is I. Just significance. Number two, humility means not to be proud. Not to be high-minded. It means not to be arrogant and not to be assertive. That's the second bunch of definition. Number one, modest, lowly estimate of one's significance. Two, it means not to be proud or high-minded, not arrogant or assertive. And then lastly, number three, and I think I like this one. Humility is a posture of always reflecting, expressing, or offering something in a spirit of polite submission and respect. I'll come again. Three things that I like: reflecting, expressing, or offering. Humility is a posture of always reflecting, expressing, and offering. Offering what now? Something in a spirit of two things. These are the two spirits that wraps humility: polite submission and respect. It's a posture. Humility is seen. Don't come and tell me I'm a humble person. You know, funny enough, you will not hear an humble person say, "I'm a humble person." They don't even know. If you tell a humble person that he's humble, he'll be telling you, "Me humble." He's not even seeing himself. Praise God. It's a posture. It's a posture of having or what? It's a posture of always reflecting. You see, humble people are deep thinkers. While I was doing a study on humility, I realized that, you see, fear humble people. They are the people to fear. You know, it got to a point, sir, that King Saul started getting scared of David. It's there in the book of 1 Samuel. He became afraid of David. Sometimes, humble people look as if they are fools. But if you get, they are not fools. Humility is not stupidity. They are deep-minded set of people. Because everyone that is humble chooses to take it. Look up. Philippians 2 verse 5. He took the posture. See, when it was time for Jesus to be proud, was he, in fact, he went to the temple. He was flogging people. But when he went to the cross, he behaved like a fool. The most self-controlled people I've met are humble people. They are not foolish. They choose to take that posture. The Bible says he took it. Give it to us. Verse 6. He said, even though he was God, he did not consider it equality equality with God to cling to. Look at what he did. Verse 7. And we'll round off here. He said, instead, he gave up his divine privilege. Look at it. He took it. I went to a plaza some years ago. The owner of the plaza came. I don't know, say, nah, don't come. They were the one telling me, now the Oga, where they wait for Bidato. I said, now the Oga be this. I said, God punish poverty. I told myself that. I said, God punish poverty. Because poverty has a way of making people feel entitled. You get small money, you just share and they feel. Have you seen truly rich people before? He just came, just normal. They wanted to carry back. He said, no, just. Everyone said, he took it. You see, if you have not read about the dangers of pride, you will not know how valuable it is to take a humble posture. Make everybody just a clap for you. Just a clap for you. Did it enter your head? Come on now, ride on. Did it enter your head? Right now, so it go enter your head. Like King Saul, they will take away your throne the same day you got the throne. David had not come. They started singing to Saul. Oh yeah, you can do it. You can do it. But say yes. He offered the sacrifices. Just immediately, Samuel came. And said, Alpha. He said, I saw that you were delaying. And the people. Samuel said, I wish you never did that. Your kingdom would have been forever. He said, but because of this you have done, the kingdom has been taken away from you.
and giving to another that is better than you. One thing about pride is that it makes you lose what you are supposed to get for long. You just lose it. Nothing lasts for long with people that are proud. It's their own hand. Because nothing should have made him to offer that sacrifices. But because of his high-mindedness, he said, for a man, he goes, "Doctor, which is somewhere they do one ever favor to self. After all, I hold sword, I hold knife. I can use knife. Bring this sacrifice. Let's do this thing." But he never knew that every action has a corresponding reaction. Let's stand up on our feet. Humble people knows that there is always a consequence for every of their action. It's an estimation. It's a way they have thought. They have deleted their significance away. And they have made up their mind that I want to be lowly. When Jesus was going to the cross, he had opportunity to respond. See, in Gethsemane, one of the disciples brought out knife, sliced the ear of one of the soldiers. He called him, says, "See, let your knife perish with you." He said, "If my kingdom was to be of this world, I will not need knife by humans. I will call legions." He took the ear and he put it back. Why is it that you always want to use every opportunity to show yourself? We were preparing for an exam. Somebody stomped into the exam center and said he will not do the exam. We said, why? He said, why would they put Mr. in his name? That is a doctor. That if they don't remove it, he will not write the exam. I don't understand. He insisted. We started begging him. That it was a typographical error. Bishop Oedipo said something. He said, "Africans, we are title sick. We are title sick. It looks like when there was Adamic nature, the Adamic nature in the foreign world is like Africa owned. Like I say, deep. I really don't understand. You will see somebody write his name, High Apostle, Prophet, Doctor, Evangelist. We now put at the end JP, AB, T. And then you will see a man whose ministry had touched lives. He will say, "Call me Brother again. Father, work on my heart. Work on my heart. Just work on my heart." Nobody can cultivate humility in you. It is a responsibility. I don't know how you will do it, but Lord, make me lowly in heart. Help me. Help me. Just help me. Make me lowly in heart. Make me lowly. Stop me from overestimating my worth. Stop me from being high-minded. Stop me. Stop me, Lord. Stop me from being too significant. Work on me. Work on me. Work on me, Lord. You still have more roads to cover. You still have more land to minister. Calm down. Put those shoulders down. Cry out and say, "Lord, work on me. Work on me." I have never fasted 3 days dry until I sought for grace to be humble. I said, even if it means dying, I will press on for it. I pressed. First day, just one prayer, "Lord, root pride away from my life." I finished reading God's General. I saw what pride could do to great men. I said, "Lord, never should it be recorded in my destiny that I am arrogant. I don't want to be arrogant. I don't want to be haughty." I read the book of Proverbs. I saw how before fall is pride. The preacher said, "Pride goes before before a fall. I don't know how that scripture hits me. The easiest way to pull a man down is to insert pride into his heart. Oh God, God, let the mind that was in Jesus. Are you praying? This is not time to look. This is your destiny. When you come on Thursday, I will show you the marks of humility. Humble people enjoy benevolence. I have seen humble people rise to positions that their degree cannot take them. Esther was not the most qualified. Vashti, in every means, was better than Esther. But by the time Vashti was to leave, Esther replaced her. You see, God does not strive. He replaced King Saul. He replaced it. Judas was replaced. In the kingdom, I believe it so well, there is the principle of replacement. If you can't do it by pride, God will give it to the lowly. The Gentiles came because the Jews became proud. Apostle Paul now said, you yourself don't become proud. Because if God took it from the Jews and gave it to you Gentiles, if you become proud, God will also take it from you. I know how God works when there is pride. He resists the pride. He takes away from them. He replaces them. There are positions you should have been in your place of work. The reason you can never attain that position is because your shoulder is too high. Cry out to God and say, Lord, work on me. 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 To be proud means to be high-minded, to be arrogant. Strip me, Lord, like John. Increase and let me decrease. He said, we have this treasure in 18 vessels, that the excellency of power may not be of us. The truth is, the best a man can be is nothing. Listen, the best this man can be is nothing. You die today, you are gone. The best you can be is nothing. So there is even nothing to be proud about. Lord, work on me. I want to be lowly. I want to be modest. I want to consider myself of insignificant. Work on me. Accept
me.
Help me, Lord. Are you crying out?
Salute to you for life.
Strip me of pride.
My life.
Strip me, Lord.
I salute to you for life.
The Bible says he took it. He took it. Say with me, I take it on me.
I take the posture of you. Salute to you for life.
Affect
my life. Breed on me.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovemercy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovemercychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.